so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus.
So save your friend, and I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Thank you, Dave. Most of y'all won't care about what I'm about to say, but some of y'all will, so I'm going to say it. This morning on the screen, I had the wrong address for a passage that I put up there. In your notes, you may have written 1 Corinthians 15. It should have been 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. So if in your notes you wrote 1 Corinthians 15, change that to 1 Thessalonians 4. Both passages say basically the same thing, but 1 Thessalonians 4 says it a little more clearly, and I changed my mind, but I didn't change the address. So that's hey, whatever. If you want perfect, you are not going to find it here. It's just not going to happen. Let's say it together. You say, well, wait a second. This morning you said we don't have to say it together. Huh? I said you wouldn't have to say what we said this morning. Again, what we're going to say tonight has one word that's different. One word. For 14 months, Israel's been away from Egypt, most of it camped at Mount Sinai. God is giving instructions for using their new tabernacle, even in everyday issues. Turn to Numbers 1. Numbers 1, I know I could have done it this morning, but it would not have been chronological, and that's important to me. In preparing this, I actually made a mistake and had several messages prior to Numbers 9 and realized my mistake. And so I had to come in and actually insert messages. So I'm several sermons ahead. Chapter 8 is written. Chapter 7 is written. Part of chapter 3 is written. But they haven't happened in the time frame. And everybody I've mentioned it to says, don't worry about it, just go ahead and preach them. To me, it's important to keep this thing the way that I believe God has instructed me to present it. And so I did it just for you. Numbers 1. Now, before we start reading, I want you to read what's on the screen, okay? The name of the book is Numbers. The book wasn't given the name Numbers until the Latin Vulgate translation in the 4th century A.D. Okay, that's 300 plus years after Jesus is when the book was given the name Numbers. For 1,800 years, it carried the name of its fourth Hebrew word, meaning in the wilderness. As you look at the book as a whole, it is a detailed description of the 40 years of wandering and the events that take place. The book is actually the fourth part of a single narrative, such as volume D of an encyclopedia. That five-part narrative is called the Pentateuch or the Torah, but they're all one single narrative, all written by Moses. They're divided in the proper place. That's where he started and stopped each section. But the name Numbers is, I'll be honest with you, when I was a kid, I'd avoided it. It's like, I don't want to read a bunch of numbers, and so I just skip it. But if you do that, you're going to miss some of the best scripture in all of the Bible. There's some really, really good action that we're going to see in the book of Numbers. Why did the name get changed from its original Hebrew name to Numbers? Don't answer out loud, but does anybody know? Well, tonight you're going to learn something because the title is Why They Call It Numbers. Why They Call It Numbers. Chapter 1, please follow along in your Bible, verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day of the second month, which tells me it happened after the second Passover. It had to have happened after the second Passover. The first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take ye the sum or the total of the congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers with the number of their names, every name, every male by their polls. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. They are numbering Israel's army in this first chapter. That's what's happening in this first chapter. They are numbering Israel's army. This is not the same census commanded in Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 through 16, and taken in Exodus 38, 26. How do I know? The timing is wrong. It happened 5 months earlier. They had a census 5 months earlier. They are now taking a second census. This particular census in Numbers 1 is to number the army. Who can fight? Wait a second. Why should they need an army when God said, thou shalt not kill? Don't answer out loud. If God said, thou shalt not kill, why would they need an army? God actually said, thou shalt not murder.
Correct.
The difference is who is making the decision.
Yep.
And they didn't question that. They clearly knew the difference. They knew when they went into Canaan, they were going to be killing a lot of people. A lot of people, it's going to be bloody, bloody, bloody when Israel goes into Canaan. But no murders will take place. And I say that as a general sense. There might have been, you know, but as a general sense, the probably millions of people that's going to die when Israel goes into Canaan won't be murder. It'll be simply them acting as an army at God's command. Drop down to verse 48. Down to verse 48 in Numbers 1. This comes next chronologically. In Genesis, we did a whole lot of this jumping around. In Numbers, there's going to be a little bit, not a whole bunch. But down at verse 48, the Lord had spoken unto Moses, saying, I believe after verse number 3 is when he actually said the words. Again, chronological studies, we're taking it as it happened. Only thou shalt not number the tribe of Levi, neither take the sum of them among the children of Israel, but thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony, over the vessels thereof, over all things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof. They shall minister unto it and shall encamp round about the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle setteth forward, the Levites shall take it down. When the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. The children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard throughout their hosts. But the Levites shall pitch round about the tabernacle of testimony, which would be the tabernacle complex we've been studying here, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel, and the Levites shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of testimony. The Levites didn't fight, so they didn't get counted in this census. They did get counted in the census 5 months earlier. They didn't get counted in this census. It will come war time, the Levites did not fight. Their whole job was making sure that tabernacle was serviced properly and making sure the people did not come too close to it. Full-time job. To the point they didn't even fight in battle. Back up to verse 4. We'll pick it up chronologically. Back up to verse 4. With you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his fathers. These are the names of the men that shall stand with you. Of the tribe of Reuben, Elizur the son of Shedeur. Of Simeon, Shemuel the son of Jurishaddai. Of Judah, Nashon the son of Aminadab. Now, he was one of the ancestors of Jesus. You can see that in Luke chapter 3, verse 32. Nason, which was the son of Amminadab. That's in the lineage of Jesus going from Joseph to Adam. And then also in Matthew 1, where he gives the lineage of Jesus through Mary, Amminadab begat Nason. So this guy is one of the direct ancestors of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, of Issachar, Nethanel, the son of Zuar. Of Zebulun, Eliab, the son of Helon. Of the children of Joseph, of Ephraim, Elishama, the son of Manasseh, Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur. All right. For the record, it'd be hard for them to pronounce our names too. All right. This is obviously not the same Gamaliel in Acts number 5. Acts 5, Gamaliel, he's a very interesting person. Not the same person. He lived 1,500 years later. Verse 11, of Benjamin, Abidan, the son of Gideoni. Of Dan, Ahizir, the son of Mishaddai. Of Asher, Pagiel, son of Akron. Of Gad, Eliasaph, the son of Duel. Of Naphtali, Ahira, the son of Enan. These were the renowned of the congregation, princes of the tribes of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel. That phrase is very important. Heads of thousands in Israel tells me that they were probably the top of the leadership team set up by Moses at his father-in-law's recommendation in Exodus 18. Okay? These guys probably already held their positions. And God is simply saying, Moses, these guys who are already set up as the heads of the different tribes, they're going to be the ones who's going to be responsible for making sure their particular group is taken care of properly and counted properly. Verse 17, and Moses and Aaron took these men, which are expressed by their names, and they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month. Stop right there. Roughly 2 million people based on the census from what happened 5 months earlier. Imagine an assembly of 2 million people. Just imagine that, all right? I don't believe we've seen this in our lifetime. Maybe we have, I don't know. But it just blows my mind. All together, waiting to hear something. They assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees. That word pedigrees literally means beget. And this guy begat this guy, and this guy begat this guy, and this guy begat this guy. They declared their family trees. Okay? They literally said, my dad is Doug King, my grandpa is John King, and they went right up the line showing exactly how they fit into which tribe. Now, this is interesting to me because they kept track of this during the years of slavery in Egypt. They still kept track of these genealogies. How they knew to do it, how they cared to do it, to me is a miracle. Considering how Israel just doesn't really care to keep rules anyway. But when they didn't have the rules, they still kept them. They kept track of all this stuff through their slavery. They declared their pedigrees after their families by the house of their fathers according to the number of the names for 20 years old and upward by their polls. Stop right there. If you are a man in this room and you consider that yourself the head of your household, please stand. All right, we're going to go down the line, and you're going to tell me how many people in your house are 20 years old and older, man, able to fight. David, how many?
None.
You can't fight?
Well,
no. All right.
Including myself.
So, okay. One. Two.
One.
Three. Four. One. I don't know if I want you fighting. Five.
Six.
I definitely don't want you fighting. Four. Now we got it. We're talking now, okay? So now we got 9, including me, is 10. Thank you, guys. Be seated. Okay? 10 out of a group of 40-ish. Imagine how long it took to declare out of 2 million people.
Ooh.
That's what happened.
I got it.
That's what happened. Verse 19. As the Lord commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai. 20. The children of Reuben, Israel's eldest son, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, by their polls, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. What he's saying there? Exactly what we just did. Exactly what we just did. Of the tribe of Reuben. Now, Reuben lived 300-400 years earlier, something like that. Not the actual guy, but all of his descendants going on down the road. Okay? Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Reuben, were 46,500. Or 46,500. That's how many there were of the descendants of Reuben. So, David, you got a lot of catching up to do. 22 of the children of Simeon, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, those that were numbered of them according to the number of the names, by their polls, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Again, just exactly what we did, except with Wade this time. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Simeon, were 59,300. So Simeon's got 59,300. 24. Of the children of Gad, exactly the same thing we did, except this time it's Ray's turn. Okay? Of the children of Gad, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Gad, were 45,650. So Gad's got 45,650. Again, it just absolutely amazes me they kept track of this during their slavery. But they knew exactly which tribe they belonged to and were never commanded to remember, not that I'm aware of. 26. Of the children of Judah, by their generations, again, this would now go back to, Bruce. Of the children of Judah, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of their names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Judah, were 64,600. So Judah's got 74,600, making them the largest tribe. 28. Of the children of Issachar, where are we going now? We're going with Chuck now. Of the children of Issachar, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Issachar, were 54,400, making Issachar 54,400. 30. Of the children of Zebulun, this is now, Roger. Of the children of Zebulun, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Zebulun, were 57,400. Again, Zebulun, 57,400. 32. Of the children of Joseph, namely of the children of Ephraim, Joseph's oldest son. And I'll explain this in just a moment. Of the children of Joseph, namely of the children of Ephraim, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Ephraim, were 40,500. Ephraim, 40,500. By the way, in other translations, they just put what I put on the bottom. Yeah, I knew that. I was just seeing if you knew that. I had a 50-50 shot, all right? This is why women don't talk in church. It makes me look dumb. Thank you for that. 34 of the children of Manasseh, also Joseph. Please look at the screen at this point. Israel is always listed as 12 tribes. This is something that plagued me as a teenager because it didn't ever make sense. Israel is always listed as 12 tribes. If Levi is not included, Joseph is divided into Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay? Levi is not included in this list, Because God said, don't include Levi. So since Levi is not included, to make 12 tribes, they divide Joseph into Ephraim and Manasseh. And apparently Manasseh is the oldest for some reason. I don't know why that's important, but whatever. If Levi is included, as in the last census, the 5 months ago census, if Levi is included, Ephraim and Manasseh are combined into Joseph. You will never, I don't think, let me ask Bonnie. Bonnie, will we ever see Ephraim, Manasseh, and Joseph in the same list? I don't think that you do. I don't think that Ephraim, Manasseh, and Joseph are never in the same list. I don't believe. Not when you're looking at the tribes of Israel. You're always Ephraim, Manasseh, and no Levi, or Levi and Joseph. But it's always listed as 12 tribes. We will get into this. And you're going to forget this. You're going to say, whoa, 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 wait a second. Where's this guy at? And I'm going to remind you, remember I told you that? And Bonnie corrected me, but she was wrong. You know, all that kind of stuff, all right? Of the children of Manasseh, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Manasseh, were 32,200. Again, other translations just put this. Manasseh, 32,200, making them the smallest tribe, less than half the size of Judah. Verse 36. Of the children of Benjamin, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Benjamin, were 35,400. Benjamin, 35,400. Of the children of Dan, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Dan, were 62,700. Dan, 62,700. A score is 2.
It was 20.
A score is 20. A score is 20. As long as it wasn't Bonnie, I don't care. Thank you. Imagine the letters I would get if I was on TV. Man, it'd be awesome. Of the children of Asher. By the way, the order in the tribe lists almost always is different. They come in different order almost every single time. There is significance to the order, but I just don't care. Of the children of Asher, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Asher, were 41,500. Asher, 41,500. Of the children of Naphtali, throughout their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of their names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Naphtali, were 53,400. Naphtali, 53,400. Now we know why they call it numbers. That is the truth. That's why they call it numbers. Okay? For the next several chapters, we're going to be dealing with a whole lot of this, but the bulk of the book is extremely exciting and interesting. So don't be afraid of it. It's going to get better. I'm going to do my best to make it interesting. I've got some very interesting stuff to tell you in just a couple of minutes out of this chapter right here, based on the numbers we've just seen. Nicodemus, the guy that Wade read about at the beginning of the service in John 3, Nicodemus memorized every single word of this. He had to.
Yep.
To be a Pharisee. He also memorized the entire book of Genesis with all the names. The entire book of Exodus with all the names. The entire book of Leviticus with all those rules. The entire book of Numbers. The entire book of Deuteronomy, which is so much repetition from the other books. He had to verbally quote it to become a Pharisee. But he needed to be saved.
Yep.
He needed to be saved.
Amen.
Yep. He sure did.
There is nothing that we can do to impress God. Nothing.
Correct.
What we do can help us to serve God.
Yep.
And if we see it that way, there's nothing wrong with it. There's a lot of people take this to the extreme and say, you know what, I can't impress God, so why bother anything? Okay, that's ingratitude in my opinion.
Yes.
It's absolutely ingratitude. Yeah. Jesus did it all, I don't have to do anything. That's a jerk that says something like that. You know, I want to do what I can to further his cause, even if it's just this much. I want to do what I can. Nicodemus was trying to impress God. And Jesus said, sorry, Nicodemus, that's not impressive to me. You're not impressive to me. Verse 44. These are those that were numbered, which Moses and Aaron numbered, and the princes of Israel being 12 men, each one was for the house of his fathers. So were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel. Again, this census is strictly numbering the army. Even all they that were numbered were 600,000 and 3,550, literally 603,550. Now, this is where it's going to get interesting. It's going to get a little complicated, but I think you're going to go, wow. So just stick with me. Watch the screen. If you pay attention, you'll be able to keep up with it. Only two of these men, of the 603,550, only two of them will actually fight inside Canaan. All the rest of them will die in the wilderness. They don't know it yet. God hadn't declared it yet, but I read ahead. Okay, only two of these guys are actually going to fight inside Canaan, which is what the census was for. Again, this is not the same census as commanded in Exodus 30 and taken in Exodus 38 5 months earlier. Two different purposes, two different censuses, two different groups of people, literally. But there is a tremendous coincidence. I don't believe there's coincidence with God, but when you see this, you're going to go, whoa. At least I did. Exodus 38:26 is that previous census. A becca for every man, that is half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for everyone that went to be numbered from 20 years old and upward, for 600,000, 3,550 men, literally the exact same number. Exactly the same number, 5 months apart, two different groups of people. Most of the people were in both. But there were some that were not in this one, and there were some that were not in this one. This morning, we saw some men who handled dead bodies and were not able to participate in Passover with the community. Considering these deaths, how could the two different censuses taken 5 months apart possibly come to the exact same total? Don't answer out loud. How could that be? This is important because I knew that I wanted to deal with it. And I began trying to figure out how could these two numbers come to the exact same number, knowing at the very least there were some men who had died. At the very least, the number should have changed by one or two or three. It had to have changed. First, it's very unlikely that all of the dead we referred to this morning were Israelite men ages 20 and up. One of those dead people could have been a woman, therefore she would not have come off of the 603,550. It might have been a child. It might have been someone not included in one of the two censuses. For those that may have been men, Israelite men, remember there's foreigners with them too, they're not Israelites. For those that may have been, we must remember that some Israelite men likely turned 20 within the five-month period. So in a group of 2 million people, I guarantee you there was at least one teenager that turned 20 in that five-month period. So that's going to adjust the numbers some. Also, we must remember that the Levites were counted in the first census, but not the second, which we discussed that heavily. In a nation of roughly 2 million people, population would be continuously fluctuating with births and with deaths in a five-month period. This does not indicate that no one died. By the way, that's exactly what my first conclusion. Well, nobody died. But then there was Numbers 9 that says they handled dead bodies. And that just kind of threw a wrench in the whole thing. I got to figure out how these numbers can stay the same. I believe God simply showed His sovereignty. That may be a chicken way out, but that's the only way with all of these variables the number could stay exactly the same. I think God literally did it on purpose. Why? Just to mess with Danny. I choose to believe that I'm important enough to God to actually do stuff just to make me think. And you know what? I think you are too. I really do. There's some people think God's got more to do than deal with my little problems. He's God. It's what He does.
Yes.
It's what He does. God knows the number of hairs on our head, including the ones that fall off and grow back in on a continual basis. God can do it. And I honestly believe there are things when we get to heaven that He's going to say, you see that thing right there? I did that just for David Hines because I love him. And David would say, you got to be kidding me. He said, well, did you think I didn't love you after I sent my son to die for you? If I'm going to kill my son for you, why couldn't I just make something appear in the Bible just so that you could see it? I really believe that. I do. Could be totally wrong, but I'm the preacher. 47. But the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers, were not numbered among them as a result of God's command that I believe happened after verse 3, but actually comes up in the next few verses in your Bible. Okay, remember we moved them up after verse number 3. So drop down to verse 54. Continuing chronologically, they have not counted the Levites, they've counted everybody else, come up to the same number. Now we're continuing the story. The children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. Folks, it is a privilege to be numbered among the members of temple. You say, what has that got to do with the book of Numbers? Everything in Scripture applies to me in one way or another. Everything does. As I read Scripture, it's more than just trying to get it done. It's even more than just trying to understand it. It's trying to say, what is God saying to Danny? What does God want me to do as a result of this passage being in my Bible? And the thing that came to my mind in this area is I am numbered among the members of this church. And I really, really count it a privilege. I do. There are some that don't see it that way. There are some that they don't care for a particular church. They don't care for certain people at that church. And they can't wait for an opportunity to leave that church. That may describe some of you. I don't know. I don't see it that way at this particular church. What I do see at this church is a group of people who are imperfect, but keeps trying. Just keeps on trying. I love that about this place. All of us are numbered in one way or another. What are we numbered with? If you were to ask someone at work, name a group that you see me belonging to, what would they say? How do they picture us as individuals? I think we need to consider these things because people acquaint us with the people that we surround ourselves with. Case in point, there was a man, good friend of mine. He's a friend of mine. We used to talk quite often. We haven't talked in a long time. He is a pastor of a church. This church was a Baptist, long-term Baptist church. And he saw fellowship differently than most of us do. Okay? Most Baptist pastors fellowship or have close friends with other Baptist pastors. That's what you call fellowship. Okay? He saw it different. He wanted to have friends of pastors of other denominations. He felt like that he could show them something they probably wouldn't see except for his friendship. And based on what I was able to see, the Lord used those other friendships. But because of the circles that he was in, other Baptist preachers shunned him because they said you shouldn't have them as your friends. All right? Who's right, him or them? Well, Jesus was criticized for the people he hung out with, but he was doing it for the right reason and had a good outcome. As I look back at churches in general, I have seen people hang out with other denominations, and next thing you know, you're becoming like those other denominations. That can be a problem. And so I look at it, and I can't really say there's a clear answer to this. However, the one thing that does stand out is the fact that he is numbered by both groups, either as a good guy or a bad guy. Who are we numbered with? Jesus was numbered. Jesus was numbered. Turn, please, to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Did anyone not know that at 5:30 was the memorization class? Anybody not know it? I pretty much tickled your curiosity. I saw a lot of people go into your bulletin and try to figure out about that. We studied this tonight for 40 minutes, was it, Roger? And it was fun. I thought it was fun. We actually did it a little bit different, and I'll confess to you the same thing I confess to them. I don't put the effort into it that my dad does, but at the same time, out of respect for him, I participate. But this is the passage we looked at. As we read through this, look for where Jesus was numbered. I'll bet some of y'all already know. Look for where Jesus was numbered in Isaiah 53. Verse number 1, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and hath carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors." The Son of God. The Son of God was numbered with the transgressors. He wasn't numbered with Judah. He wasn't numbered with Israel. He wasn't numbered with Ephraim or Joseph. He was numbered with the transgressors. Why? To save me. To save me. I love studying Scripture, because when you see stuff like this, it's just like, wow. I want to encourage you, study it. Study it, study it, study it. Even if you go for a long time not understanding any of it, once it hits, I'm going to tell you, you're going to shout. And you're going to say, that's what that's talking about. No invitation tonight. Go and sin no more. David, close their prayer, please.
deserving of no respect, deserving of certainly not your love. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the awesome, awesome price you have paid. Father, there's nothing we can do to repay you. But Father, help us. Help us to realize deeply and try to better serve you while here on this earth to help further your cause. Lead us and guide us as we go from here. Forgive us, Lord, of our many shortcomings. And we shall give you the honor and the praise. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.